بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده نبي بعده، على من لا نبي بعده، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته، ولا أمة بعد أمته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تحسبن الله غافلا عما يعمل الظالمون، إنما يؤخرهم ليوم تشخص فيه الأبصار. وقال تعالى: ألا لعنة الله على الظالمين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: اتقوا دعوة المظلوم، فإنه ليس بينها وبين الله حجاب. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: اتقوا الظلم، فإن الظلم ظلمات يوم القيامة، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. يا ربي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Most respected honorable brothers and friends in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. What's happening in Gaza and around the world is nothing new. Perhaps you may have a little bit more information and details as to what's happening, especially in Gaza, our brothers that have been meted out with such level of oppression that perhaps what we are eyewitnessing would become history. Children of the future will have to study the atrocities that we meted out to the people of Gaza. But the question is, how can I be part of the solution, and how can I be a tool and an instrument to remove and alleviate the difficulties and the sufferings of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? We know of many incidents, people of the past, in whichever way they would try, make an effort to be part of the solution. And that is key and important for every one of us. Talking the politics, we can carry on talking. There's always a new article to come out. But it all starts about making a difference and a change from within ourselves. In Sahih Muslim, there is a hadith Qudsi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the creation and says, Ya ibadi, inni harramtu dhulma ala nafsi, wa ja'altuhu baynakum muharrama, fala tazalamu. O my servants, oppression, I have made this haram upon myself. There will be no oppression from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And between yourselves, interacting with each other, be careful and cautious of not overstepping that mark and oppressing the next person. Therefore, فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا. You should not be part of those that will be ظالمين. So be careful of being counted and enlisted amongst those people that will be known as the oppressors. And what is happening in Gaza, it's not only about religion. If you have to see what's happening, it has far surpassed the limit of just being religion. It's not a religious war. Due to the disproportionate oppression that is being meted out, now it's actually against human dignity. If you have to look at the flotilla, the Sumud flotilla that is trying to break the siege, then majority of the participants are not Muslim. And how many? They would be Muslim, not to say no, but the majority of them are non-Muslim. Why would they risk their life? Why would they want to put the life on the line for such an expedition? Because they know that this is against human dignity and international law, what is being meted out. So perhaps we're not part of the flotilla, we're not part of any other organization, but in whichever way I can, I have to make a difference to remove the pain and the sufferings of the Muslims around the world. We can talk about the flotilla being docked in Tunisia. We can talk about the drone that was heard and whatever had dropped and what the the guards are saying, the naval guards, what everyone is saying can be spoken about. But the question is that this level of oppression that is being meted out in Gaza, we have to be careful that we're not throwing stones from a glass house. That's important for us. Meaning if I want to implore, beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I must not be amongst the oppressors. Let it not be in my government. We can talk about the other governments that are sellouts. We can talk. Am I not a sellout to my own community? The muazzin is saying, Hayya ala salah, and I'm not coming to the masjid. Am I not coming to the negotiation table when it comes to certain matters of the family, where people are trying to put the family together? Am I not part of that? Am I part of the oppressors? Am I taking more? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hajjatul Wada', which means that this is already the message to Sahaba radiallahu anhum, is the farewell sermon. It's the farewell Hajj, which means every statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be packed with wisdom and light for the future. And what is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressing Sahaba radiallahu anhum? And Nabi Sam is telling Sahaba radiallahu anhum that by speaking to, there's a whole list of advice. Amongst the advice, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that inna Allah qad harrama alaykum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram upon you dima'akum wa amalakum, that your blood and your wealth is sacred. That is something we have to be careful. The blood of a Muslim brother we would not draw. The wealth of a Muslim brother we will not usurp. We will not take and usurp. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this has been so sanctified, the blood and the wealth of a person, the integrity in some narrations is so sacred. كَحُرْمَةِ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا فِي بَلَدِكُمْ هَذَا فِي شَهْرِكُمْ هَذَا. As today is a sacred day, as this city is a sacred city, and this month of Dhul-Hijjah is a sacred month, similar, your blood, your wealth, and your integrity is honorable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that إِنَّ الْحُقُوقِ لَتُؤَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حَتَّى يُقَادْ مِنَ الشَّاتِ السَّلْحَىٰ حَتَّى يُقَادْ لِشَّاتِ السَّلْحَىٰ مِنَ الشَّاتِ الْقَرْنَىٰ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah will avenge, will take revenge for the oppressed person. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even if two animals were fighting, and the animal with horns had head-butted and attacked an animal without horns and injured that animal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take revenge for the hornless animal on the day of Qiyamah. Even from animals, that zulm and that oppression, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will avenge his oppression. Which means that on the day of Qiyamah, whatever oppression if we are involved in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will exact revenge for it. Then whatever, whether it be wealth, that wealth, there is no wealth to pay on the day of Qiyamah, which is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, atadruna mal muflis, who's a pauper on the day of Qiyamah, is a person who came with a lot of ibadah. But he was someone that usurped, trampled, and he was not cautious with regards to the people around him in society. All his ibadah will be gain to those that he had oppressed. Tilawat of Quran, whatever it be, all of it will be gain. Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, hadith appears in Sahih al-Bukhari, that Sahaba radiallahu anhum were so cautious that am I ever overstepping that mark? That yes, if someone oppresses you, you can take revenge. But when you take revenge, ulama explain, you should be a few percent less in taking revenge. If you overstep the mark, now you're the oppressor.
If someone is owing you money, and he's owing you 100 rand, and you go to someone who helps, who can get the money back, and you take 101 rand from him, now you're the oppressor. On the day of Qiyamah, for that 1 rand, you will be called Zalim. Allah la'na, thirst be upon those that are oppressors. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu was sitting. He says, Kunna julusan ma'an nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're sitting in the gathering with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Suddenly we can see Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is panting, is rushing, is coming into the gathering. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling Sahaba, Inna sahibakum qad ghamar. Listen, it seems like your companion Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he's entered into a tiff. Can see he's upset. Something happened. There is some facial expressions that show that someone has stamped his toes. You can see he's red and he's hot. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu comes. And why would a person come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Perhaps I'll go to the judge and the lawyer. See, he has usurped my haqq. He has stolen my property. He hasn't paid me my dues. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he is not the complainant. He is not coming with the complaint. He is actually the defendant, not the plaintiff. He comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He lays his incident. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, myself and Umar, we had a discussion, we were talking, and I was a little bit upset, and I said something, I rushed in saying something, fanadim too. And I realized what I said was overstepping the mark. And I said, please, I'm remorseful about what I said. Umar, I take back my words, but I want you to please forgive me. Says, keeps quiet. He doesn't say, I forgive you. Umar radiallahu, Abu Bakr is persisting, please Umar, forgive me. Ask Allah to forgive me. I've done wrong. I'm accepting it. He's keeping quiet. No response. And eventually, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu rushes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar radiallahu anhu goes home. He's thinking to himself, hey, hold on. I haven't forgiven Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. I'm still in the right. But he rushes to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's house. Knocks on the door. Athamma Abu Bakr. Is Abu Bakr here? Abu Bakr is not here. Where is he? He's gone to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's gone to complain, but he did wrong to me. Subhanallah. In that interim, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is telling Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umar doesn't want to forgive me. He says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I saw that the face, Mubarak face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yatama'ar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was broken, he was red, he was pale in the face, very upset. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu got so worried. He sat up, he says, Ya Rasulullah, ana avlam. I'm the one who did wrong. Like, don't get too upset. I'm the oppressor. I did wrong. Please, I'm sorry about it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He spoke to all of them. He says, oh my Sahaba radiallahu anhum, listen, when I came as a messenger of Allah, قُلْتُمْ كَذَبْتُمْ, all of you said, كَذَبْتُمْ, meaning Sahaba radiallahu anhum somewhere had to investigate. Not everyone responded to the call of Nabi Sam immediately. The first person was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Wasani bimalihi wa nafsihi. He was the person who comforted me with his life, with his wealth, with his daughter, with everything. In the hijrah, he had everything sorted out for me, arranged. Everyone's on khidmah, his slave, his son, his daughter. Everyone is on khidmah for me. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, please, brothers, la tu'dhini bi Abi Bakrin. Don't ever hurt me because of Abu Bakr. If you hurt Abu Bakr, you're hurting me. Umar radiallahu anhu comes in. He hears the discussion. Immediately he says, Abu Bakr, I came to forgive you. Nabi Sam is already upset. Nabi Sam is saying, Sahaba, please, when it comes to Abu Bakr, don't ever trouble him. He asked you for forgiveness. Why didn't you forgive him? But the lesson that we take from it, even to that word and that utterance, he's coming back to say, please forgive me. I don't want to pay you with amal on the day of Qiyamah. On the day of Qiyamah, I don't want to pay you with amal. So yes, Before we pick up our hands and we will curse the oppressor, let it not be we got blood on our hands and we say, in Allah, take revenge of the oppressors. In my own circle, am I oppressing my own wife? Am I oppressing my own parents? Am I oppressing my own children? When it comes to the distribution of the estate, am I grabbing more? Am I taking more? Am I suppressing the haq of the daughters or the sisters or whichever weaker gender they may be, and a person is taking more from them? So do we have blood on our hands that we ask in Allah to take revenge of the oppressor? And we ask in every imam that on for Fajr Salah, read the Qunut. Allah must curse the oppressor. Is it not that when Allah's punishment comes on oppressors, would there not be a piece of that punishment for me? Because I am also an oppressor. Is it that when I'm asking Allah, take revenge from the oppressor, or when I am cursing the Yahud and the Zionist regime and whatever it may be, is it not that like the pot calling the kettle black, that we part of the same, we all in the same boat? They are oppressors of another degree, but I'm also oppressing in my own right. Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, one Sahabi amongst the Ahada Mubashara. He was amongst the Ashara Mubashara, those Sahaba who were guaranteed Jannah. There was a property he was sharing with a lady by the name of Arwa. So this lady, she came to the person, the judge of the time, the leader, and she had explained to him that Sa'id ibn Zayd has usurped a piece of my land. Like how we would have nowadays also like a deep pig in the ground that would demarcate properties. Perhaps they had something to that effect. So Sa'id ibn Zayd, she is going around, "Zalamani, akhadha ardi, oppress me, he has taken a piece of my land." Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu held his silence and he says, "But that's not the truth." Eventually, Sa'id ibn Zayd, she is going around in town and she is blackmailing Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, a Sahabi. So Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, he curses this lady. Allahumma innaha in kanat kadhibatan fa'a'miha. Ya Allah, if she is speaking a lie, Ya Allah, you make her blind and kill her in her own land. In the same well that she is disputing about, let her death be in that. What happened was, Sa'id ibn Zayd made this dua, and people are still talking, they're waiting for a decision. And he makes dua to Allah. Ya Allah, show the Muslims a sign that I haven't oppressed, I haven't taken anything of her land. And a few months later, فَلَمْ يَمْكُثْ إِلَّا أَشْهُرًا. Few months later, there was heavy downpour in that area. The water was so heavy that it washed away the area and exposed the pegs that demarcate the land. So people said, excuse me, lady, there's the pig. How did you say Sa'id ibn Zayd had stolen your land? That's a lie. And the moment that happened, few days later, she becomes blind. She's walking in her land. She trips and she falls in her own well. And that was her demise. She became an example of the time. People are all saying, A'ma kallah kama a'ma arwa. If anyone had oppressed you, this is the bad dua and the curse they would give. Allah blind you like he blinded Arwa. They would curse and use her example. Have you not forgotten the example of Arwa? So when we are oppressing any person, that we have to be careful. The moment that curse has to reach the arsh of Allah, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ittaqu da'wat al-mazloom. Be careful of the curse, the lanat, the baddu'a of a person oppressed. Because between the du'a and the arsh of Allah, there is no barrier. That will reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. Ibn Sain radiallahu anhu, the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we speak about his shahada and martyrdom in the battle of Karbala. So Hussein radiallahu anhu, in the closing moments of his life, some people were trying to get water. and they attacked the people trying to bring water. And as the water was coming, then they were shooting the water bag with arrows to ensure not even a drop of water reaches Sayyiduna Hussein radiallahu anhu, the grandson of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Hussein radiallahu anhu is, you can see he's on death row and he's about to be killed. Sayyiduna Hussein radiallahu anhu addresses one of the brothers and he says, his enemy, he says, please give me some water. I'tini bima'in ashrab. I just want to drink water. That's all. You can take my life, you can do what you want. The fight is over, I just want to drink water. I'm very thirsty, extremely thirsty. This person refused to give him even a sip of water. And Hussein radiallahu anhu cursed him. Allahumma azmi'hu. Oh my Allah, when you kill him with thirst. This person, mu'arrikhin explain and say historians, in his deathbed, the same person who refused to give water to Sayyiduna Hussein radiallahu anhu, on his deathbed, what happened was, he was complaining. He's saying, my stomach, as if there is like heat in my stomach, it's like boiling. And my back, this cold, feeling very cold. So eventually they brought ice, they brought certain things to comfort him. And he says, I'm feeling thirsty, bring something to quench my thirst. So they brought some water, they brought some nutritional drink for him. And the narrator says, the amount of water we brought, if five people had to drink in was enough. But this person is drinking, he says, give me more to drink. So the people said, no matter what you want to bring for him, it's going to make no difference. He's going to die like this in this condition due to the curse of Sayyiduna Hussein radiallahu anhu. That curse is going to hit him now. So we are picking up our hands and making dua against the oppressors and the Zionists. But before, and for our dua to be effective, if we want this dua to be heard in the skies, we have to ensure that our hands are clean. We don't have any blood on our hands. That we are not doing and we're not involved in oppression. In whichever way, any person subordinate under my authority, whether it be an employee, someone who's working for you, someone who works, we have to be careful of how we talk. Sometimes we talk so vulgar language, na'udhu billah, then if Mawlana is around, Mawlana, maaf, that's the only language they understand. Maaf, Mawlana, maaf. I know it's wrong, but they don't understand any other language. Imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to tell us, you see, my banda, I'm waking you up for Fajr, hayya ala salah, you're not coming. Let me send on azab for you, that's the only, maybe that's the only thing you understand. So we have to be careful when we do wrong and validate it. And say, I'm not doing wrong, Mawlana, that's how they do the work. And let it not be that we oppress when in the distribution of inheritance. You say, Mawlana, but I have to look after her. I'm going to look after my sister. I have to take that extra because she doesn't know how to run finances. So you take extra. Allahu Akbar. Allah protect us. Ulama are dealing with cases of oppression of this nature. How we deal with everyone around us in society, we have to be careful. We ourselves are not the oppressors and we are not overstepping that mark. Allama Haythami Rahimullah explains one incident in his kitab. And he explains and he says that there was one person who went fishing. Due to difficult times, he was fishing, he caught a fish, holding the fish and he's taking it home. One person stopped him and he says, hey, lovely fish, can you please give it to me? He says, no, there's no other food at home and this is the meal and supper for tonight for the family. So he says, hey, you better give it to me. He says, I cannot give it to you, this is our supper tonight. He grabbed the fish. He held the fish and he's going home. As he's going home, the fish is still moving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that that fish bit his thumb. He used some tool to get it out. He held the fish properly and he took it home. So the fish is prepared and now he's ready to have. He has this is the oppressor having a good meal. But now that bite of that fish, whatever sickness or bacteria that came and flowing into his blood, he couldn't sleep that night. He went to the doctor, he says, doc, fish bit. He says, okay, see here, to save the hand, we have to cut the thumb. Go for it. He cut the thumb. Next day, he's sleeping. He says, doc, the hand is paining. He says, to save the rest of it, I have to cut by the wrist. He cut the wrist. Next day, he can't sleep. Doc, nothing is working. He says, to save your upper arm, we have to cut at the elbow. So he cut it at the elbow. Next day, he says, it's still paining. So they amputate and they cut at the elbow. I mean, at the arm. When they cut this, the doctor says, please go take advice. Something is not right here. So he goes to someone. He says, this is what's happening to me. He says, look into your life. You did someone down. He says, yeah. Not major. It was just a fish. He says, that's the person. He looks for him. He finds him. He goes to his feet. And he's kissing him on his feet. He says, oh, my friend. Ya akhi. Samihni. Please forgive me. Please ask Allah to forgive me. He says, who are you? What's this all about? He says, I'm that one that took your fish. So he says, yeah. Oh, you the one that took the fish. So what happened now? Please forgive me. He says, what happened? He says, I lost the thumb. Next day the wrist. Then the elbow. Then to the arm. He says, perhaps this will take my entire body away. He says, oh my Allah, please forgive him. Ya Allah, forgive him. Immediately it stopped. Everything is fine. So he says, but what you did? He says, you know, the day you took my fish away, I made dua to Allah. I say, Allahumma, taqawwa hadha alayya biquwwatihi ala du'fi. This person exerted his strength against me, and I gave him that fish. Oh my Allah, arini qudrataka fi. You show me your power and might in him. You show me his might. So this brother says, ya Allah, I have seen your qudra in him. Please forgive him. And everything stopped. Sometimes look in your life. How come the thriving business and that empire is crumbling? What's happening? Everything is in place. Where's the pilferage? You've got CCTV, you have the camera systems, you've got everything. Perhaps you haven't paid someone his due. Perhaps someone asked for leave and you didn't pay them what was due to them as an employee. Perhaps you're overstepping the mark with someone around you in society. And sometimes we overlook the wife, shame, who's doing everything for us in the house. No, that's how it is. Na'udhu billah, we have to be very careful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep everyone with afiyat. Remove the difficulties of the and the sufferings of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Although it may be a flotilla of kufar, but it is for the benefit of the Muslims. We make dua for their success. We make dua that the siege is uplifted. We make dua for the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it starts by cleaning our backyard. Our own families, businesses, homes. Let's ensure that everything is clean. We implore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, these are my clean servants. They've got no blood on their hands. Let me answer their duas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq wa akhir da'wana. Subhanahu wa ta'ala.